In this economy, when China talks, the world listens. China's Prime Minister Wen Jiabao says confidence is worth more than gold these days. Confident is not how he's feeling about the U.S. Treasury Department, anyway. He said today that he's worried about the safety of the Treasury's large holdings and other debt. The Chinese Treasury holds an enormous amount of U.S. debt, and nearly half of China's $2 trillion in currency reserves are invested all in U.S. Treasury bills and other instruments. Joining me now to discuss his remarks and how they might be taken on Wall Street and other markets around the world is BBC correspondent James Reynolds, coming to us from Beijing. James, the Wen Jiabao remarks on its debt holdings are the kind of information that markets listen to, you know, with extraordinary detail. What was behind the remarks? Because on the surface, he just said a few things.
I think it was a very carefully calibrated decision to use the words that he did. And John, I want to explain to you a little bit about the context. He was not surprised by the question he was asked, because the Chinese officials had been calling around news agencies in the past few weeks saying, would you like to ask a question? The Wall Street Journal was one of those approached by the Chinese foreign ministry. In other words, China knew that it was going to be asked something about U.S. Treasury bonds. And he used the words, I'm a little bit worried. I do have worries about U.S. Treasury bonds. That's gone a little bit beyond what he's said before. That's a slight inching up, a slight recalibration of China's worry. Beforehand, he said we must always diversify our investments. Now, for the first time, he said he's a little bit worried.
Now, you know, here China has two missions. One, it's to reassure the markets and to really clarify what is a fairly devilish relationship here. I mean, China relies on U.S. Purchases to fuel its demand in its own economy, as well as the U.S. relies on China to finance all the problems that we have over here. But China also needs to project its, in some sense, its supremacy, its emergence as an economic power here. So they have to project that they're kind of on top, but also moving very, very carefully. Do you think they were successful?
Perhaps, certainly the reaction of the markets today in this very short term tends to suggest that they were successful. But this relationship, this fascinating relationship between China and the United States, may become the defining story of the next few years. You'll know, of course, this week the two countries have been arguing about military issues. There was a dispute in the South China Sea, the two countries' worst military confrontation for 8 years. And now there's a realization they're trapped together. The fate of China relies on decisions which will be made by consumers where you are in the United States. If people in America stop buying things made in China, people in China get unemployed.
So in the center ring, China and the United States, the rest of the world is in the bleachers watching?
To some extent, look, some historians have said, look, forget other countries. There's only one country. There's Chimerica. There's China and America. The two countries almost coexist to such an extent that the fate of one is the fate of the other. Clearly, there are other trading partners which China values, in particular its trading partners around Asia, Japan, its growing relationship with India. The presidents and prime ministers of China are always nipping off to Africa to get more mineral resources. But there's one big relationship, and that's the relationship with the United States.
James, when you take a look at this relationship, is there a possibility that China could try to withdraw the assets that it has in the U.S.? You know, is there ever going to be a moment where China says, you know what, all of this borrowing, I mean, this lending that we've done to the borrower nation of America has got to stop, and we're going to have to pull out of this relationship?
Farah, we've been listening to the winds and the whispers on this topic for some time. We aren't hearing anything about that at the moment. Any type of rumor which would lead us to suggest that China's going to say, you know what, we'll take our $800 billion or so, and thank you very much, we'll invest it somewhere safer. It is important to know, though, that Wen Jiabao's comments today were about as far as China has gone in saying that it's worried. But China hasn't yet taken the next step. It hasn't said, we're worried and we're thinking about going elsewhere. At the moment, China's simply saying, we're worried, full stop, please reassure us. In other words, China's saying, next step, United States.
But part of the insurance policy here is that there's really no alternative. I mean, if the euro was doing much better, that would be a whole different context for Wen Jiabao's remarks. And partly it seems like he wants to project a sense of leadership and that he's still holding cards. What do you – give us your assessment of his personality, his style of leadership.
He's probably the most fascinating politician in China, I'd say, by a long distance. He is one of the main leaders of the Communist Party. He's actually number three in the hierarchy. But he is, by some distance, the most popular politician in China because he's seen as incredibly frugal. There were huge cheers for him the other year when it was worked out. He was wearing the same rather tatty overcoat for the last 10 years. He spends a lot of holidays with Chinese peasants. He's seen as an ally of poor people. And really, in terms of public image in China, he has an image which perhaps is only rivaled by President Obama in America.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for that briefing. James Reynolds, BBC correspondent in Beijing.